WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Alaska Air flights are taking off again after an IT outage last night that brought the entire fleet to a standstill. CBS's Michael Toscano.
Operations have resumed, but the airline said there will likely be what they called residual impacts to their flights as they reposition aircraft and crews.
The pilot of a Delta regional flight from Minneapolis was coming in for a landing in Minot, North Dakota, when he told passengers he had to swerve to avoid colliding with a B-52 bomber. New heat domes expected to settle in the south and midwest this week. WWL-TV meteorologist Alexa Trishler from New Orleans.
Feels like temperatures heat into season the coming days, Monday and Tuesday, up to 109 to maybe 112. Scorching heat the next several days. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. You'll want to have water.
If you're set to call it a career.
The top five states for retirees are, in this order, New Hampshire, Maine, Wyoming, Vermont, in Idaho.
Bank rate Stephen Cates, CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. ATV UTVing has become a wildly popular activity in the state. The combination of increased usage and not much maintenance on county trails brings community partners together to make the trails better.
We're improving the ATV trails. They haven't been really touched in like 3 years, so we're kind of improving them, making them easier route. They're pretty muddy.
That's Alyssa Whitman. She works for the Department of Natural Resources Division of Forestry, stationed out of the Wisconsin Rapid Service Center. Whitman said she was operating a John Deere bulldozer to make improvements on the trail, filling in low areas and making the routes better. Their department uses the bulldozer for fire suppression in the spring, and then it can be utilized for other project work throughout the year. They open up the work to other stations in the area so DNR staff can put in the hours they need to retain their certification.
So each operator needs 30 equipment hours each year on our dozers, so each operator in the department has 30 hours to give. We're just kind of helping out our county partners.
Whitman said operators from the Friendship and Plover Ranger stations will spend time on the dozer working on trails throughout the county. It not only helps them attain the minimum amount of hours needed to retain their qualifications on the equipment, but also helps improve the trail systems in the county for recreational users. In more ATV-UTV news, the Wisconsin DNR urges families to take safety seriously when operating these vehicles, especially when children are riding. So far this year, 21 people have been killed in ATV-UTV crashes. Remember, helmets are required for all riders under age 18. Youth under 16 must operate age-appropriate vehicles and have completed an ATV safety certification course. Parental supervision is strongly encouraged, even for certified riders. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
It's the Brewers and the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers landing in Seattle last night. They open a three-game set tonight against the Mariners. The Brewers, the hottest team in baseball. They've won 10 in a row. They beat the Dodgers yesterday 6-5 to complete a three-game sweep in L.A. Now the Dodgers get media coverage from Los Angeles and networks in Japan. A reporter asked Pat Murphy, how do you beat a World Series team? With Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw, with guys like Isaac Collins or Caleb Durbin.
It's a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of. No disrespect to great fans of Japan baseball, but they can't name five players in our lineup. They can't name two in today's lineup. And that's just a credit to hungry players. And, you know, the Dodgers are running into tough luck and they're not playing their best baseball and they'll get back on track and be a juggernaut that they are. But, you know, I'm still proud of our club and what they did and, you know, how they competed in big situations. And, yeah, you know, a bunch of average Joes.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, our low around 60. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach and Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning. It is July 21st, 2025, and let's see, we've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly here. We've got Parker Olson producing this shindig in Madison Studio A2. Up North News reporter Selena Heller joins us from Eau Claire. And Lord willing and a fair wind blowing to carry the signal, we have meteorologist Brittany Merlot at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, where she once again is camping as naturally as possible, sleeping bag in a swamp. She's crawled out of it to join us here and tell us what's happened. Look at that. That is a broadcast quality microphone right there. You can fly that thing into Air Venture. Brittany, how are you?
I am doing pretty good. Okay. It's been an event so far, just trying to set up camp. You know, last night got a little chilly. There was definitely dew out there. I was freezing for a minute or two, but we've got power, we've got signal, we've got internet, so we've got a weather forecast for you today. It is exciting. The gates just opened here at EAA. People are coming in for the first time this year. Planes are already taking off. I mean, about 10,000 planes come to this air show. About 700,000 people attend it. And there's about 40,000 people camping alongside with me right now. The campsite is packed and we are all excited. And the weather couldn't be any better. The sun is shining right now. The wind is blowing. It is a bit breezy, so it's a crisp morning. Temperatures outside across the state, 48 to about 66 degrees. Nice and refreshing. We're going to stay cool and crisp today with no humidity really seeping in. Low 70s to low 80s for our high temperatures. And then we are looking at some light rain possible far northwest in the state this afternoon. Maybe a thunderstorm or two, but very small. None are going to be severe. And then as we go through tomorrow, that's when the active weather starts to surge in a little bit more. This whole week looks a little wet for a lot of us. By tomorrow afternoon, we're looking at some storms up north and then mid to upper 80s. Yeah, it's going to be muggy, hot, and humid as we go through the next rest of this week. So this is the most refreshing, sweat-free I think I'll be. And it's going to get down and down and down from here, so I apologize for that, you guys.
No, we're very excited for you. You've got a great setup there. You're right outside one of the gate entrances there. I noticed you're on the far side of the gate, so they haven't kicked you out yet if you haven't officially walked in. So this is a good thing. Are you looking forward to seeing something in particular today as things get opened up?
Ooh, good question. I think the first day for me is more like get the feel of the grounds. What is here? Where is everything at? Because it's massive. You do a lot of walking, so make sure you got the right shoes. Check things out. I want to find the blimps, but I don't think they're here just yet. And definitely all the military airplanes and different homemade aircraft. I am actually camping next to a guy who built his own airplane. So I kind of want to go see that. It's inside there as well.
Oh, built his own airplane.
Isn't that the dream?
No, it's the nightmare, Brittany. If somebody says, hey, I built this, you want to go up in it? No, I do not. But you have a lot more faith that way, and that's what you and 700,000 friends are all, you know, better and more trustworthy for it. So, but I did see, as I looked through there, there's little seminars or demonstrations on like everything, like building your own plane and what kind of fabric to, you know, goes best around, you know, the body and the wings and things like that. There's the military demonstrations, like you said. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're just the rankest amateur or the most seasoned professional, there is something for you to see and learn something about there.
There really is. Like, I started off not knowing anything, and now my knowledge has just grown specifically from this event. So it is really cool. They're even having some YouTube, Facebook, how to be a star on that. I mean, they're giving talks about everything. It's not just aviation. It's anything related to it. And NOAA is here. The National Weather Service is here. So lots of meteorology nerds as well.
If I can ask as well from like an infrastructure standpoint, I get that all these people are going to be here to see all of that. But again, you got to take care of all these folks. How much like a fair is it in the sense of like concessions? And I mean, are there more than six porta potties? Because I'm sure this thing has grown over the years and they've had to learn the hard way that you actually have to feed these folks and give them things to do. Or how are the facilities?
Oh, they are really, really good up until about, I'm not going to lie, Saturday night. I'm sorry, you guys. It's going to be a little rough out there by the end of the week. But these are the best porta potties I have ever seen.
Oh, my.
I know. It's the weirdest thing to say, but they are the cleanest. They clean them every single day, multiple times a day. The food, there's plenty of vendors inside. There's even nice restaurants, like outdoor rooftop bars, things like that. It is, they've got it all here. And then plus for the campers, we also have stores on site. So we have places to go get ice and food and things to cook and wood and salad or something. But if you're inside the gate, you're going to pay those inside gate prices, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Celine, does this compare at all with the air show you were doing for the Chippewa Valley, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I know, and from your standpoint, Brittany, I know we have to have a like emergency preparedness kind of plan in place, and we go through that. I mean, we have a whole specific team just for that, and we all know what we need to do if something happens. And that actually went through, a storm went through one of the years not too long ago, a few shows ago, and it just poured, and the wind blew the porta potties over, and so it was just kind of had to take things right away. So I know you probably have a plan like that in place there too.
Yes, we absolutely do. We have warning sirens and stuff like that. So the National Weather Service and the meteorologists here will come on and let everybody know that a storm is incoming. They try to give us at least 45 to 30 minutes warning so we can move and get out of here, because again, it's a lot of walking to get to safety. But we've got the EAA Museum as our shelter, and we'll see how it goes. But it's going to be an active week as we move into later in this week for sure here in Oshkosh.
I got to think, for all the stuff that they need, Kristen, that somebody would have at some point asked you if you wanted to be one of the volunteer docs there. I'm sure they've got medical staff on call around that area.
They've got everything. They are so well equipped because they've been doing this. I mean, how many years? It's been, what, 40 years? More than that.
Yeah, more than 50-something now at this point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they have everything. Please go. It sounds intimidating, 700,000 people. They know how to handle the crowds. And the things that you see and the things that you'll learn are incredible.
All right.
Absolutely.
Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Hazy sunshine in 58, because, yeah, we've got that Canadian wildfire smoke moving back in the area, don't we, here?
We do.
Okay, I worked on my lawn tractors, getting them ready for more mowing jobs today in Wittenberg. There was storm damage from Saturday morning in northeastern Marathon and northwestern Shawnee counties from high winds and hail. He says, I heard the planes over my house yesterday headed toward Oshkosh. They also had a plane fly out in Wausau heading toward the EAA. Yes. We were talking about it being National Junk Food Day. He says, I have a bad habit of eating Hershey bars with nuts and a bowl of ice cream and loads of chocolate toppings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. And he too remembered the Captain and Tennille variety show back in the 1970s. He loved hearing Kristen sing along during the commercial break to the Captain and Tennille, and said she should be singing every day. Brittany is a shining star of the EAA. He says it's like farm progress days for the agricultural community. And then Alicia was chiming in as well, saying, woohoo, she's going to be searching for Brittany when she gets down there. And she says home builds are awesome, meaning home-built airplanes. compared to, she says, again, as a veteran, our military aircraft are held together with duct tape and hopes and dreams. And Tony asking on YouTube, I thought Noah got fired by the government. Well, I'm sure that'll be a discussion point out there as well.
Yes. Oh, it will.
there will be a lot to talk about there. All right. Will we see you in an hour, Brittany, or will you already be on a blimp or something by then?
Nah, I'm going to hang out with you guys.
Oh, bless your heart. All right, good. We'll see you in a little while. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Hey, remember, you can sign up at Up North News for our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And remember, today, it's about the EAA, so you can learn a bit more about that. And not just what's at the show, but what goes into putting on AirVenture, which includes a whole lot of volunteers, the people from the Oshkosh community who truly make this thing happen. So you can sign up again on our website. You can also sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter. That one has much more of a political bent to it. And we ask about candidate for governor Bill Berrien running ads already for governor more than a year before the primary. But of course, nobody knows who Bill Berrien is. You know, he's a guy that runs a business and he wants to be governor. So in the newsletter on Sunday morning, I asked, what is your impression of a candidate running ads this early? Is it, you know, I hate it, and if I see ads that early, I'm immediately going to dislike this person and never vote for them? Or is your answer, I get it, I don't like it, but if you got to build name ID, it's what you got to do? Or is it option C, you actually like that? You like when somebody is advertising early. It shows that they're, you know, they've got a lot of initiative and that they are worthy of your attention. Well, needless to say, gang, a lot of people pick an A. They do not like the political ads a year in advance. But it's far from unanimous. There are enough people saying B, they get it, they understand it. And there are a couple of folks already saying, you know, that they admire that somebody wants to jump in. I think that might be more politics-driven, that maybe they're not Tony Evers fans, and they're just happy that somebody is running ads for governor right now. But, you know, Kristen, you know, along with me from being a candidate, there's a whole different strategy on when you start advertising, because once you do, I mean, you're burning money now instead of raising it.
Yeah, but I think here in Wisconsin, we have so many elections and we as a swing state are so targeted. So there are so many ads and also unlimited money. So I think, based on conversations that I've had with friends and neighbors, that people just are tired of it. Like, people want to enjoy the summer and they want to go to EAA and they don't want to be thinking about politics, because politics is always looming over us right now.
Yeah, people love to have a little break. Like, even Selena, you're at Country Jam this weekend and there was no chance this time around that there'd be any candidates, you know, on the outside of the ground shaking hands or anything like that. It was, everybody got the full escape this time as you were out there, I would assume.
Yeah.
Or are you going to tell me that up on the Jumbotron between acts, there was a Bill Berrien governor commercial or something like that?
I didn't see any. No, I didn't see any. We did have some fun there. The artist did with the whole Coldplay incident and put the camera on some people, and they did the whole ducking and covering really quickly.
That really tapped into some cultural things that are happening right now, didn't it?
Oh, did it ever? My goodness. And I don't remember if we asked on air or off air who you saw somebody, one group that you were particularly impressed with.
Well, yeah,
oh, Bailey Zimmerman. Bailey. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I had no idea. And then so come to find out, he's a great performer. Oh my goodness. Very high energy. Wore Packers gear coming out of the gate. And then he takes it off and he throws it, signs it, throws it into the crowd, and then puts on something else. A lot of changes of his outfits. And then he came out again with a love jersey on. So he really caters to the crowd, but very great performer.
Gotcha.
And I think he's Tony's distant cousin.
No, I don't think so, but you know, never know. Roger in Stevens Point puts on Facebook, we played Duran Duran last segment, saying A View to Kill is the only James Bond theme to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
That's a true fact.
And Tony responds with, that's what this show was made for, Duran Duran history. You know,
let's keep doing it.
that would make you so happy. When we come back, Selena Heller had a chance to talk to Corrine Hendrickson, who is having to close up her childcare business and is also contemplating a run for office as well. That and so much more ahead on these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And good morning once again. It is Monday, July the 21st of 2025. The time is 7:22. I am Chad Holmes. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO. Great to start things off by having a guest. We're very happy to welcome in Rob Hughes, who is a teacher in the Wausau School District, but wears a couple of different hats, and had a chance to actually go to speak to Rob's class last week over Wausau East for a summer session. But Rob, thanks for popping on in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It was really fun going to be in the classroom last week. It was fun to speak about what we do here. Ian came along with me as well, and well, thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
We're going to talk a little bit about your teaching, in addition to also an organization that you're part of. And really, the reason that you reached out to me to talk about this was that not just you're wearing a teaching hat, but you're also involved in the community with a special organization. Could you first of all tell us what this organization is?
Well, I run a program, a nonprofit called Wausau Area Food for Hope. And what we do is starting in October, late October, we start to fundraise and see how much money we can raise. And then starting in November, early November, we reach out to 30 different schools in Wausau, Mosinee, DC Everest, Edgar, and we ask them, do you have kids in need? Do you have kids that receive bags of food? And we'd like to give them a free ham or turkey. You survey them what they would prefer. And then we compile a list. Last year, we gave away 1,000 hams and turkeys, and it's all free, and it's giving back.
Let me ask you, how long has this
organization Food for Hope been going on?
This is actually the 10th year. Last year, in total donations, it was $106,000 that the community and friends have donated, and we were able to turn around, and 100% goes towards hams and turkeys.
The idea, you mentioned, how many, again, did you give away last year, hams and turkeys?
1,000.
I mean, when you think about that, that just shows, again, that the need is out there. And frankly, and I want to ask you about this, sometimes it's not easy to ask, is it, for folks who are in need to say, you know, we won't have a turkey or a ham on Thanksgiving. I imagine that just having you out there saying, hey, it's there, is so important, because I imagine that sometimes they keep it close to the vest.
Yeah, I think the whole story started when I was growing up. My parents got divorced, and we had moved from Toma to Waukesha, and we were living in an apartment. And one year, these strangers showed up, and they brought over Christmas presents and food. And without them, we had just moved, single parent, three kids, and without them doing that, I don't know if we would have had, well, the presents or the food that year, because money was tight. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were on food stamps back when it was literally the fake purple, blue bills. Mm-hmm. Money was tight. Everything was tight. And the kindness of strangers, I'll never be able to thank them, but this is a way I can pay it forward and try to return that love and compassion that they shared with us. And what was really cool too is they were really happy and jovial, and I team up with one of the programs I work with is the Elks Club, and they do the same thing, presents and food, and I imagine that they're doing the same thing, just trying to pay it forward.
I've actually had a conversation on the air recently, like a month ago. We were talking about Medicaid and some of the bills that were going through the Congress. And the idea, and it brought me back. And then you talk about it here. I remember as a child, 8, 9 years old, my family was on food stamps as well. And I remember, again, the paper, back in the day. How did that part of your youth, growing up, where there were struggles within your family, lead you to where you are today with this organization, or even teaching, being with kids? Yeah. Did that have a lasting influence in terms of the pathway that you took your life in?
So when I was growing up, there's the thing called ACEs, and these are traumatic events that happen to people in their lives. I have a high ACEs score. There was divorce, there was drugs in the family, there was alcohol in the family, there was some gang affiliation, there was teenage pregnancy, there was dropouts. So I think myself as a teacher, I work with special education kids during the year, and in the summer, I have a social studies degree, so I teach summer school social studies. But during the year, I've been blessed in that what I have gone through, it helps me to connect with kids, and I literally tell them, hey, some of my kids, unfortunately, have rougher stories than I do, but I tell them, hey, I've been there, and this is what I went through, and there's a sense of connecting. We need all kinds of teachers, and we need teachers that were brought up in stable homes and had could afford college and things like that. I was first generation college, and I was lucky when I was in high school, my mom had decided to move to Arizona, and like, where am I going to go? I'm still in school. My sisters, unfortunately, had dropped out. She said, well, we thought you'd go live with your grandma. And so I walked down to the payphone, and I called my grandma and asked her if I could live with her. And I was already going there on the weekends, spending time with her. But this is how things have changed in society. I had a swim coach, Mr. Holub, huge impact in my life. But he knew about my family struggles, and he knew about what was going on. And I was a little upset one day, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he just said, you're going to live with me. It was the first time in a long time that I felt like somebody cared about me. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't do that today for liability reasons, but I can still, people cared about me. I've been very blessed in my path, and I can return that. And I've been very blessed that to be surrounded or connected to other people that support this, because it takes about $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. It's first year was $1,000, and then it just keeps growing. So it takes a lot. But I've been very blessed to be surrounded by people that support it and people that have helped me on the path, that inspire me and that I carry with me to pay it forward.
We will continue our conversation with Wausau School District teacher and founder of Wausau Area Food for Hope, Rob Hughes, in about 22 minutes or so. We'll be back at 7:52 for our next segment here on the WXCO Morning Report. But coming up next is an information update. We'll have a look at your Monday morning weather forecast and also the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke as well. And that will be followed by more with Pat Kreitlow. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
While the United States gives the cold shoulder to our trade partners in Canada, they're turning their attentions around the world to find new friends. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says that Canada has implemented plans to restrict imports of foreign steel to try to help Canada's manufacturers that have been hit by tariffs imposed by the Trump administration. Nearly 90% of all Canadian steel is exported to the United States. Prime Minister Carney says that they have pledged to diversify their trade partnerships away from the United States.
The trade actions of the United States are transforming global dynamics and supply chains. We become too dependent on the United States as our biggest customer. We must diversify our trade relationships. And above all, we must rely more on Canadian steel for Canadian projects. We have the potential to become our own best customer during this time of change.
That's Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. He says Canada's open market policy has suffered from the dumping of cheap foreign steel products, largely from Chinese sources. But Carney's announcement was primarily made in response to the 25%, then doubled to 50% foreign tariffs imposed by President Trump. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. So far, our grain trade looks halfway decent. I've got numbers next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese was up a penny at 166. 40-pound block cheese, quarter of a cent higher at 164 and a quarter, while AA butter dropped a penny and three quarters to 251 and a quarter per pound. August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 13 cents this morning, 1790. December new crop corn's down three at 424. November new crop beans down nine at 1027. September wheat's down two at 545 a bushel. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, our low around 60. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a massage, a chiropractor appointment, and some sleep. We'll be back with regular programming from Madison on Monday. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
.735. Welcome back. Nice to have you here live from Lake Wissota and from the Green Bay area as well, where Dr. Kristen Lyerly is hanging around with us in what a green long sleeve, something that at first I thought was just a, you know, just another Packer jersey. But no, is that from Wellstone Action by chance?
No, this is from the DFL.
Oh, from the Minnesota Democratic Party, the DFL, mm-hmm. Democratic Farmer Labor Party, a Paul Wellstone shirt in honor of the anniversary of his birth today.
Yes, and Corinne's statement and the fact that the purpose of government is to serve the people. And that's not what's happening right now, but that is exactly what Paul Wellstone stood for. So mm-hmm. In solidarity.
That was nice. We don't often get a lot of costume changes here on the radio. So
yeah,
appreciate you going from Bay Beach to Paul Wellstone. So that's mm-hmm. great. So we have both been candidates. We've both been in races that either looked at having potential primaries or, you know, a lot of discussions about, well, who should run? And you've talked about people running for assembly or Senate or Congress and, you know, which race is right for them. And the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, who's also a Democrat, the chairmanship flips between Democrat and Republican chairs. Anyway, put up a post about primaries because there's been a little bit of, if not controversy, then discussion in a couple of different legislative districts about to what degree either the state party or others, you know, are influencing whether there will be a primary or not. And for me, this began when Corinne Hendrickson mentioned that she was thinking of running in the 17th State Senate District down there near Southwest Wisconsin, because I knew that recently State Representative Jenna Jacobson had announced that she was running for the race. And when I hear that a state legislator is going to be running, like state rep is going to run for state Senate, you know, I have to admit, I assume like, okay, well, the decks have been cleared and that's what's going to be the case. And we had Robin Vining announce, you know, that she's going to be running against Senator Rob Hutton of Brookfield. And you find out that that's not necessarily so, that there are other people interested in running. So to what degree is a primary good or bad? And down in the 17th Senate District there was a long Facebook post. Brick Cider is the Facebook account. And somebody talking about their desire to explore a run for state Senate. And they felt like they were talked out of or maybe intimidated out of running by a group called the SSDC, the State Senate Democratic Committee. Now, the SSDC is not exactly the same thing as the state party. This is the political caucus for the Democratic members of the state Senate. So there's the SSDC, the State Senate Democratic Committee, and the ADCC, the Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee. And they obviously get involved in recruiting candidates, just as at the congressional level, Kristen and I were both, you know, hounded by the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And in all cases, Kristen, well-meaning folks, but that does not necessarily make them, you know, the be-all and end-all experts on local races.
I have so many thoughts on this. First of all, to make it very clear, the SSDC's job is to recruit people to run for state Senate, and the ADCC's job is to recruit people to run for assembly. And the DTRIPS is to get people to run for Congress all over the country. So there are bodies that do that work. And there are seats that they focus on that really can make a difference, where they look at the numbers and they think this is a seat that we can win. So they want to make sure that that's a great competitive district. So they tend to put a lot of time and energy and effort into these districts. And the 17th Senate District here in Wisconsin, which goes from south central Wisconsin all the way over to southwestern Wisconsin, is one of those districts. They want that candidate to be the shiniest, best supported, greatest fundraiser, all of those things. And when they find somebody who they think is that person, they elevate that person. But when there are other people who are on the outside and don't have the same connections and maybe the same background, it's harder to break through. And it can be a challenge. But I would say, as somebody who actually helps to recruit and support candidates in Northeast Wisconsin, a primary is not a bad thing. A primary is an opportunity to talk about what you care about and to get your voice out there. And if it's done well and in a positive way, and that's what people want to see, they really, really want to see good people talking about the things that they care about, it could be a really great thing for our democracy as a whole.
And I'm saying, for the sake of argument, not to disagree, but to give the other side of the argument on this, is that primaries take up resources mm-hmm. that could be used against, in this case, the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline in Senate District 17, Rob Hutton over in the Milwaukee suburbs. And so there are groups that, you know, very much try to dissuade people from announcing if they think that there's a candidate. So Ann Jacobs, who's an attorney and the Democratic chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, has seen all this. And I wanted to share her thoughts on this that she posted over the weekend. It's 4 points. Number one, primaries are neither inherently good nor bad. For example, good, create awareness of the race, strengthen the candidate message. Bad, siphon dollars needed for the race and damage the eventual candidate. Yeah, especially if it's a negative primary. We've mm-hmm. definitely seen that. Number two, the job of the SSDC and similar funding orgs is not to hand out participation trophies to everyone who indicates they are interested in running. Their stated goal is to fund the candidate they think most likely to succeed. That is a political decision. Three, running for office takes more than, I think I'm very smart and have good ideas. Maybe you are smart and have great ideas. You also need to have a plan on how to run, how to convince people to vote for you, how to find resources to fund you. Running for office is hard. That's why there are various training groups to help you learn to do it, like the aforementioned Wellstone Action. If you're not willing to do or have not done the work on these logistics, people will not consider you a serious candidate. And four, if you really want to run, all you need are nomination paper signatures on some documents. If what is stopping you is that people aren't supporting your effort, then perhaps it is time for some introspection on why that is. And I mean, that was amazingly blunt and, you know, says it all, makes the case right there for, you know, don't be whining if SSDC, ADCC, or DCCC goes with somebody else because, you know, they've got a job to do.
Well, I'll say ultimately it comes down to, do the people support you? So if you are not coming into this race with support of the people and you can't garner that kind of support, then maybe you're not the right person. Maybe you are a support person for the person who's going to be the candidate. And, you know, I'll use an example. When I ran for Congress in the last cycle, there were three of us who stepped up. There were three of us who wanted to run for that same seat. And what we decided to do was put our heads together. Before any of us filed, we started to get media attention. We started talking to people and we tried to figure out where we all fit into this process. And we knew we all had a role there, but we didn't know what our individual roles would be. And as time played out and as we had more conversations with people, it became very clear where we all belonged. So there's a way to do that, working collectively together. I think one of the tricks with candidates, though, is that in order to be a candidate, you have to have some, like, a little, like, maybe a little touch of narcissism, maybe.
What? Us?
So everybody thinks, like, I'm the right person, and you have to be able to set that aside and mm-hmm. be there for the people.
There was a quite a response on that post from Ann Jacobs by State Senator Kelda Royce, and it was responding to somebody who wanted to know more about what is the SSDC and the ADCC. And so Senator Kelda Royce put up, the State Senate Democratic Committee is made up of the Democratic senators in Wisconsin, and our only job is to win the majority. We have limited resources and time, and so we work our butts off to recruit and support our Democratic candidates in every seat. We have been incredibly successful protecting all of our incumbents and flipping all four even slightly competitive seats in the last cycle where we faced national headwinds. Now, we have the possibility of a Democratic trifecta for the first time in 15 years. I personally will again raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for these candidates. The idea that Democratic senators who are doing this, work should never get involved in supporting candidates in must-win seats until after the primary, especially in cases where there is a very strong standout candidate, is crazy. We need to be smart with our resources and time. Anybody gets to run for anything. It's not hard to get on the ballot, but to earn my support personally, someone has to share my core values and show that they are capable of doing the work to win. It is really hard to get elected, especially in these critical seats where the races now cost millions of dollars, and you have to oust a powerful, well-funded, well-known Republican incumbent. Why would anyone who shares our values want us to sit on the sidelines for a year when doing so has cost us seats in previous cycles? So again, a very full-throated defense of how the SSDC and the ADCC run things, but I will be the first to tell you it's not going to sit well with other folks who feel like they're being, you know, excluded from tapping into resources simply because there is, here's that word, an anointed candidate. People in Democratic circles, probably Republican too, hate the impression that one candidate is being anointed to run. So, Kristen, what you just explained, I watched you guys in this process last year, multiple people, you know, looking at where they fit in with the right race. From my distance over here, looked like a textbook case of how to find the strongest candidates in the strongest seats and give yourselves every opportunity to win.
Because we have a common goal, which is to win so that we can do the work for the people. And, you know, I think another really important point here, Pat, is our primary is late.
Yes.
Our primary isn't until August, and the general is in early November. So if we have competitive primaries, we don't have a lot of time to line up behind that one candidate between August and November. It seems like a lot of time, but it actually isn't in an election cycle. So that's why we really have to do a lot of that work in advance of the primary. And that's why the work of the SSDC and the ADCC is so important. Having said that, if you are thinking about running, start having conversations with people. Talk to the people in your community. Talk to the leaders. Talk to the electeds. That is ultimately government is people working together for the good of the people. So start working together now. It's not too late.
No, it's not. And again, every district is going to be different. Every candidate is different. And that takes us to, you know, the third congressional district, where there are three Democrats running already, three women, all from the Chippewa Valley, interested in running. One ran last year and was very competitive with Derek Van Orden. And there are definitely people who feel like the decks should be cleared for Becca Cook to run and be the nominee again. But part of the reason there are already two other candidates is this feeling of, well, she had her turn or she gave it her best and now we want to give it a try. The, you know, obviously a lot of powers that be say, no, this was our nominee. They're in the strongest position. I don't envy any of them. And I frankly feel, I don't know if blessed is the right word, but I get to provide a forum here for everybody. All three of those candidates know they can come here, make their best case. They know where I stand as a former elected official is everybody come here, make your case, but then come the day after the primary. If you are not with a full-throated endorsement of your nominee, you're the bad guy in this case. And I'm not going to lie. There's some people very close to me who were the bad guys last year when, you know, there was a nominee and you know, the least amount was done possible for the nominee in some of these races. We all, you know, who are invested in November have to come together after the primary and go, this is the way forward, as difficult as it is.
Right. This isn't a time to hold grudges. This is a time to work together to make the change that we all want to see. And just briefly, I'll tell you, we've got four people who are looking at running in Northeast Wisconsin. And I believe in Glenn Grothman's district, there are four people who have already filed. So enthusiasm is high. Get involved. Even if it feels impossible, get involved in some sort of a meaningful way. There is a place for you at the table.
So there you go. You've heard the pluses, the minuses of primaries and support behind them. And in all cases, there is room for you to increase your civic engagement. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then for the rest who are sticking around here, Jimmy Cusco will be out along and we'll talk about, how about those Brewers? 10 in a row. Yeah, that's a pretty fun thing to talk about. I think we'll do that after this. You're up north.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is the WXCO Morning Report, parts of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. Again, we're talking to Rob Hughes, a teacher in the Wausau School District, also runs a program called Wausau Area Food for Hope here on 98.9 WXCO. You talked about this program giving turkeys and hams for Thanksgiving, but obviously we're in the middle of July right now. Mm-hmm. So obviously this is a program where you have to raise the money throughout the course of the year, correct?
Yeah, as it's grown bigger, when it started out, it was just a couple $1,000 or went up to $5,000. I could get that out of talking to teachers
right,
and then talking to friends.
A little
and,
arm twisting, huh?
Well, and you know.
No, I know what to say.
But I believe this. This is Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams. Sure. If you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. And for example, we just did in summer school. The police came in to talk to the kids because at the end of the day, we do the Constitution, we do the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. And I have the police come in and we talk about perceptions and reality and understanding the law and your rights. Mm-hmm. And as part of the conversation, Nick Stetzer said, we're talking about the homeless in the community. We're talking about needs. And he said, right now there's a need for coffee and socks. And so the session one, we decided let's pool our money. Let's reach out to the community. And we bought 9 bins of coffee for them and filters. And the second session, I thought, well, let's see what happens. And this one, they're in my car right now. I'm going to drive over there after this. 1,500 pairs of socks. We gave some to the Marty bus, and we're going to give a lot to the Wausau Police Department Homeless Shelter. It's the synergy, and it's the support. That's just how it just magically happens. Mm-hmm. The food drive, or the turkey drive, it is so faith-based in a sense that I ask people, what do you want? And then I hope we raise enough to pay the bill. And every year we've been lucky enough to pay the bill. And there have been some great, like Green Heck Foundation has been, when it got big, when we started moving towards 20,000, I needed to reach out to other people. And so they've been a big help.
How can people be involved? I mean, say, because before you reached out to me, I'd not been aware of your program, and I'm sure that many people out there right now probably have not been aware of the program, but it is really always nice when we have organizations that are based here in central Wisconsin where the benefits go to folks here in central Wisconsin. There's nothing wrong with having national giving because we talk about that all the time as well, but I do think that there is something that connects folks who live here to those in their communities, their neighbors in their communities, the young people in their communities. For those folks who may not have been aware of your program, what can they do? Where can they either find the information or be able to give the donation that could help a family in our area come this Thanksgiving?
As of today, I'm $40 short of $11,000. So, and I figure it's going to take between $18,000 and $20,000 to, if we do the same numbers. It's never gone down, so I imagine it'll be about the same numbers. So we need about $8,000 more dollars. One place, what I learned through this process is people are at different spots. Mm-hmm. I have a Facebook page, Wausau Area Food for Hope, Facebook page, but not everybody's on Facebook. Right. I'm on Instagram, but I'm not totally literate with Instagram, being an older person, I guess, but I'm on there. There is a web page. If you Google Wausau Area Food for Hope, there's my story, my picture, there's how much we've given away each year. And then there's also at the bottom, I think it is, you can donate through Venmo, PayPal, a Cash App. The other way that you can donate is through Cloverbelt. You can go to Cloverbelt and you can say, I would like to make a donation for Wausau Area Food for Hope. And then they will deposit the money in the account. What I learned is not everybody has the electronic.
Right.
And then not everybody's on Facebook. And right. So really it's word of mouth. I think this is actually, in my opinion, it's one of Wausau's best kept secret because not many people know about it. But you know what I found too is once you tell them what you're doing, people are like, how can I help? And in fact, I've had some former kids that went to East and they donate a couple $100s. And then I prefer, this is going to sound dumb, but I prefer the small donor. I would rather have $5 donations as opposed to one person sitting down writing a check, because then I feel like we are doing it together. Mm-hmm. And I always said, as long as this is supported, I will continue to do it. And it might be dumb on my part, but to just have somebody write a check, I'm not saying if you're willing to do it, I will not say no, but I love the fact that people coming together and people feeling like they're a part of it. We're very blessed in this country. If you look at other levels of poverty throughout the world and what we have here, and there are people that are still struggling, but we are very blessed, and this is a very giving community. Mm-hmm. This is a very compassionate, giving community. So yeah, ways to donate. There's the electronic Venmo, PayPal. A couple years ago, when it started to grow, when it started to turn the corner and grow, my wife said, you need to form a 501c3, a nonprofit. We need to create separation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, come on, you know. But I tell the kids at summer school, surround yourself with people who challenge you. Mm-hmm. Surround yourself with people who may not always agree with you, because you need that. And so through her wisdom, formed a 501c3. And so the Venmo, the PayPal, the Cloverbelt, it's all linked to the nonprofit. And my books are open. Anybody wants to look at them, I don't care. Look at them. Nothing to hide. 100% goes towards hams and turkeys.
As part of our program, we do put on our website a podcast of our programming, and we also have show notes. Yeah. And on our show notes for today's WXCO Morning Report, I'll make sure to put links to
your
Google page and also put the information on with Clover Belt and Facebook, and make sure there's links for people to get more information and to have an opportunity to give as well. So again, once we wrap up the program today, I get the show up on the website, and if you just go there and check it out, I will make sure to have the information there. If you're interested in learning more, then perhaps also giving to Wausau Area Food for Hope. And as I talked with Rob Hughes about his work, again, helping in terms of Thanksgiving turkeys and hams coming up in the fall, also wanted to talk to him about his role in the classroom as a teacher at Wausau East and then in the Wausau School District for more than two decades. Talk a little bit about the challenges for kids, for students, and generally what's going on within the classrooms in our schools here in the Wausau area. And so we're going to continue with Rob Hughes tomorrow in the first hour of our program. During the WXCO Morning Report, we will have Rob Hughes talking about what's going on in the classroom. So hopefully you can join us for that tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to send it back to Pat Kreitlow coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The pilot of a Delta Connection flight from Minneapolis to Minot, North Dakota, told passengers he had to swerve to avoid colliding with a B-52 bomber.
For those of you on the right-hand side, you probably saw the airplane kind of sort of coming at us. Nobody told us about it.
There's an Air Force base nearby. SkyWest says it's investigating. Severe storms swept the East and Midwest over the weekend. CBS's Rob Marciano.
In the Midwest, hail up to the size of softballs battering this storm chaser's windshield in Nebraska. And this funnel cloud spotted in Indiana as more severe storms threaten the Ohio Valley.
A 102-year-old D-Day survivor and TikTok star who regaled young people with his war stories has died.
I'm just a country boy. If it weren't for TikTok, I would not be reaching any of these people.
His granddaughter says Papa Jake Larson died peacefully, cracking jokes until the very end. CBS